Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome.
Oh, that was loud.
Yeah, I know. I thought I'd give it a bit of oomph.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go again.
Hello.
Oh, that was loud.
And welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Tom Allen.
And me, Susie Ruffle.
Too loud, Susie.
Sorry. Tom, something weird happened to me this week.
Oh, now you tell me. What?
So, this watch that I'm wearing.
I like it.
It was my granddad's.
Oh.
It was my grandfather's wristwatch. Clock. And, he's been dead a long old time.
Yeah.
24 years?
Really?
Yeah. So I knew him for a little bit of my life. Mm-hmm. Maybe 23 years. Anyway.
Like 1 year then?
Yeah, thanks Tom, I'm so young. Mm. Anyway, this watch was his and it's been sitting in a box in a dressing table. Now, as you know, my mum brought my dressing table up to London.
Yes.
Because she decided that I wanted it. Mm. And actually, really pleased I've got it now. It looks very nice.
Do you have one of those, like, boofy, puffy things to putting your makeup on?
I don't powder my face, no. But I know people that do powder their face.
I think they're fun. And one of those, like, atomizer perfume things with, like, a...
With a long
with
stem.
A long, yeah, thing on, with a ball on the end, yeah.
No, I don't.
I think you need to get those things.
I wear aftershave.
I know. And maybe one of those brushes.
I use a brush for my makeup.
But, like, massive brushes that has, like, a thing on the back of it. You know what I mean?
What, like a mirror on the back of it?
Or like a sort of flowers, like some sort of
floral. Yeah, it's like an old-fashioned blusher brush.
Or like a hair. I think it's a hairbrush.
Yeah. And then I have a mirror that I hold as well.
Yes, and a mirror that you can hold at a distance.
Well, you know, I've got my chaise lounge now.
Today is brought to you by our friends at Casper.com. And as you may have heard us say, Casper make the most outrageously comfortable mattresses in the world. Check out their website, Casper.com. You'll see thousands of reviews, all of which seem to be saying wonderful things. Their average rating at the moment is 4.8 stars out of 5. So you can't ask for much better than that. The mattresses are, how would you describe them, Susan?
Well, there's something between a supportive memory foam and mm-hmm. also like sort of a bounce. It's basically got the right amount of sink and bounce. And it's Ooh. Also made with this breathable fabric that keeps you cool and helps regulate your temperature through the night.
Oh, it sounds great. What is also great is that Casper are offering our listeners a discount. So you can get £55 off toward any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com and using the promo code FRIENDS at checkout. But remember, terms and conditions apply. But do go and have a look, Casper.com.
And there's free shipping and returns across the whole of the UK. And you get a 100-night free trial, no hassle returns. If you're not happy, if you're not 100% happy with the bed that you've got, they will pick it up and take it back and give you a full refund.
That's it. So get £55 off toward any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com and using the promo code FRIENDS at checkout. Have a look at the terms and conditions as they do apply. But we think you'll like Casper a lot. You've got your chaise lounge, which is stunning. Did you bring it up?
Yeah. So I had... So basically, Auntie Jack...
Yes.
...had this chaise lounge in her old house. She's had it for years and years and years.
Has she?
Yeah. About 6 years ago, she said to me, do you want it? I said, yes, please. Mm-hmm. So it was just covered in this sort of like blue fabric. It was quite nice, exactly as it was when she bought it. And that must be like 35, 40 years ago.
Wow. It didn't look that old.
So anyway, had it covered, haven't I?
It's absolutely stunning.
Took it to an upholsterer's.
Great job.
Picked a fabric. They said that'll cost £1,000. Picked another fabric. They said that'll cost £200.
Thank you.
I said, thank you very much. And now it's in my room. It's very smart.
That fabric is great.
It's really good. What
was the £1,000 one?
I think it was a Liberty print. And I briefly forgot who the fuck I am.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Too much, Tom. Far too much.
That includes their...
Their fee.
Their work, yeah. But still.
Absolutely not, no.
It's a lot, yeah.
Anyway, so I've now the bedroom's looking very nice.
I bet.
I've got a chaise, a dressing table, the new sheets.
Gone down well, have they?
Oh, they've gone down lovely.
Do you go for white or grey?
White.
Can't beat it, can you?
Can't beat a nice white sheet.
Can't beat it.
Grey curtains. Grey carpet.
Lovely.
Anyway, so I go into the new dressing table where I sit to do my face with my big puffy bruff thing.
Yeah, poofy buff.
My poofy buff. Anyway, opened up the drawer, was like, oh, there's Grampy's watch. Opened up the box that it was in.
Yeah.
Tom, as I live and breathe, yeah. I looked at it and it started ticking.
No.
I swear on my life.
What, and it hadn't...
It's a windy.
It's motion sensitive, is that what
it's
they
not
are?
Motion sensitive, it's a... You wind it.
So I guess,
don't know if you can hear that.
Did you...
That's me winding it.
Great audio.
Hey! Great. I thought it was.
I mean, if it had been if it had been really loud, that would have been really odd. Can you imagine, like, yeah.
Anyway, as I live and breathe, it started ticking.
Wow, that's nice.
So I took it to a shop and asked them to take some links out.
Yeah.
A cobbler's. Because they also do watches, don't they? Cobblers.
Do they?
Cobblers, they cut keys and do watches.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Ah, in all the cobblers. It's cobblers.
Cobblers to you. I think I did not know that.
I really like the smell of a cobbler's.
Boot polish.
Yeah, or like, I don't know whether it's the glue that they use to like fix shoes back together, but yeah. God, I feel like I could stay in there
all
and have a lovely old time.
In the lathe. That would be nice. That would be a nice new lesbian stereotype.
What?
lesbian cobblers.
What, we specialise in walking boots?
Of course.
And cutting a key for the woman that you've just met.
Yeah. Of course, you'll need a second key immediately.
Sharon, I know that this we've just literally had a lady's coffee, but...
Is that like the second date? Cobblers, get the keys done.
Yeah, get the keys cut.
Get the walking boots. In order.
Go on a holiday for 3 days. If you get on, Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt, let her move in.
Where is a traditional place to go for your people?
For my people?
Yeah, like Ben Nevis or something.
Snowdonia,
yeah, sure.
We won't go anywhere with the man's name in the title. So Ben Nevis is completely out.
Of course.
Arthur's Seat also
absolutely no. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think is there a stereotypical lesbian date?
I imagine somewhere like...
Hebden Bridge.
Of course.
We nipped to Hebden Bridge for a coffee. I mean, it's literally miles away, but it seemed right.
It was worth it. We hiked the whole way. And maybe some sort of canal boat. I imagine a canal boat.
Yeah, I mean, my friend's dad has a canal boat.
Does he?
She.
My friend's
dad. Yeah. So he has one.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm not using gender. I'm not regendering my friend's father.
You really messed up on the gender there, didn't you?
Oh, talking of gender.
Talking of gender, the light topic of gender.
Transparent?
No, but I've kept meaning to.
Oh my God. It's worth getting Amazon Prime for. It is literally one of the best things I've ever seen.
The funny thing is I've had Amazon Prime for so long.
Tom,
I never use it.
I've had it as well, and I haven't been watching it. And do you know what? As soon as I watched the pilot, I was literally kicking myself, thinking, why haven't you watched this sooner? And then thinking, oh, I'm really pleased. I've got three whole series to get through.
Oh.
It's one of those. It's fab.
Great. Okay. It's got Tig Notaro in at one point, I think.
Yeah, she plays Barb.
Oh. Yeah, I know it's won lots of awards, and it does seem like it'll be right up my street.
Right up your boulevard.
Right up my Straße. But... I haven't had a chance to watch it. I keep watching Kimmy Schmidt. And I do think...
Breakable.
Breakable. The theme song is so good. Also, the love story between Mikey and Titus is, for me, felt like the most real gay love story I've ever seen.
Really?
In a portrayal of a thing, yeah.
Tell me why that is.
I think because Titus comes into it with this kind of sense of... no, I can't have this relationship. I can't have this relationship with this person. And the other person is just sort of quite natural.
But why can't Titus have it? I have watched it.
Because he's like, I don't have relationships. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want this.
Yeah.
I'm too sort of caught up in my own kind of identity, I think it's fair to say. And then they get together and then actually they find... And he's like, no, you're not interested in me. You think you are, but you're not. I
liked it for that as well, because some people... Oh, sorry, I'm leaning away from my microphone. Some people weren't as keen on the storyline with...
Oh, were they not?
Oh, I think they found that he was sort of like too camp, or some people were saying, oh, he's too much of a stereotype.
Well, I think what I thought was really interesting about it was, I think stereotype, or sort of being a big personality or whatever, is something that I think we are blessed with as a people.
Yeah, I think that's true. So,
but also, I didn't find him any less sincere, actually. I thought it totally resonated with me of like, sometimes we are more flamboyant because actually, actually that's a way of just being and just existing, and that's a way of dealing with our feelings that are running underneath. But I still found that there was sincerity within. That's what I thought was so brilliant about it. I thought Titus has this great ability to be a big character but also very believable, and
that's
even though it's quite heightened,
well.
I thought at times I was like, I really identified with that. And
but no, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
And it's handled in a very funny way. So it's
of
not,
course,
but
it's, yeah.
I just found it really sort of tapped in. It just really resonated with me.
And that is our theme this week, Gaze on TV.
Gaze on TV.
Gaze on film.
That's what I was trying to sing it in, and I couldn't remember the tune.
I really like the relationship between Cam and Mitchell in Modern Family.
Yes, and again, they get a bit of criticism, don't they?
Yeah, because he's really big.
Yeah.
Cam's characters.
Don't
fat shame.
Let's not.
He's a huge character, isn't he? He's so like his like backstory about how he's a clown and all that different stuff is so brilliant. But he's also a football coach. So he's got this really butch side to him.
Yeah.
And the thing I love is just is given this gay character numerous sides rather than just the punchline or the sidekick.
And I think like we're all performing a character in one way or another. And I sort of get a bit
absolutely.
Like people are like, oh, I'm sure I've heard this at the point. Like, why do gays have to be like such? Why can't they just be like normal, like everyone else? Why do they have to carry on like that?
To be,
yeah, because they don't want to be.
Ever so dull.
You inform, and I mean that again really resonated for me. I was like, because I remember that sort of form of homophobia, of kind of like, why do you have to walk around like that? Why do you have to use your hands to talk all the time? Why do you have to?
Because I might be Italian. You don't know me.
You don't know. Or what? You know, why do you have to wiggle your hips when you walk? Like, I don't know. I just wanted to, in the same way that like.
You
anybody.
Want to trudge about.
Yeah, in your sort of like, everything's performative.
Face like a slapped arse.
Everything's a bit performative, I think, most
I think
of the
so.
Time. You know, if you're choosing to be like, I'm a laddie bloke who plays football and I go down the pub on a Friday night and that's my life. Like, there's an element, you know, you're choosing that. So that
of
is
course,
a,
yeah.
a form of form. Sorry, I got very animated there.
No, but that, which is completely in your character.
Which is luckily very much in keeping in your... with my flamboyant way.
But I think that it's... I think that it's great to have those sorts of characters on television. Same with, like, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
Like, sort of celebrating that.
Yeah.
I preferred the earlier seasons.
Sure.
Who sure. didn't, right? What? But it's... Although I did like Sasha Velour, who won last series. She was sort of more sort of drag art.
Oh, I like
I guess,
it when like
which,
that.
Which
yeah.
was really interesting and really great. Mm. But sort of celebrating that. Flamboyancy of queer culture.
Yeah.
And like, I guess, that, I know it's the thing I hate if we sort of repeat ourselves on the podcast, but, and we've done like 100 episodes, we're going to at some point or another, so I'm sure I've said this before, but I sort of hate it when gays of sort of our generation are like, oh, I don't like it when people are too flamboyant. I don't like it when people are too camp or
yeah,
I don't like
that.
The drag scene. Because it's like, I think like drag queens had quite a lot to do with like the Stonewall riots because they were like brave enough to stand there in a dress. They were like, well, no one can take
empowered.
Me down.
Yeah.
Hugely empowered.
There's that sort of thing of like, we live in such a constricted way. I know we've talked about like social media and stuff, but I think it's easy to feel very self-conscious and very kind of shame. There's a lot of shaming in our society.
So much shaming.
And I think it's really dangerous. I think it's becoming very powerful and very dangerous that like there's a sense of like, don't stick your neck out. Don't do that. Don't say the wrong thing. People will criticize you for it.
Yeah.
You'll be, you know, you'll be shamed. You'll be, you know, that shame like Game of Thrones.
But I think that's, I know that when I've had, you know, I've had therapy in the past, which I've always really, I find really useful. I think it's great. But I that was something that kept coming back for me that I had this sort of shame or fear of acceptance or fear of being found out. And I think that all stems from sort of living my first sort of 20 years as a 20 years, I don't know when did I realise my sexuality. Certainly between 15 and 20 as sort of a closeted person, trying very hard to not be what I naturally thought that I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like if I was a gay teen now.
Again.
The amount of gays on TV, like, obviously there should be more. Be great to have some more women. Guys, please, please. Love Toxvig, love Balding, love Perkins. Just occasionally another, please.
Sure.
But it's, there does seem to be more sort of gay characters in some sitcoms. And trans, of course, which is hugely important.
Yes. Yes, there's not that much representation.
There's a great if anyone's particularly interested, there's a great interview with Laverne Cox, who is a trans actress who is on Orange is the New Black.
Oh, right.
And it's called Awards Chatter. And okay. She talks about the fact that she identified as a gay man for a long time. She was a dancer, she was an actor, and how she transitioned, how it obviously changed her acting roles, how people treated her differently, how she feels in the world as someone that is a very visible trans person. Really interesting if you're more interested in that subject, because I feel like it's something that I don't know enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'd hate to say the wrong thing. But
yeah. We have a long way to understand, don't we? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who were the gay people on TV or in the media when you were growing up?
Well, I suppose I sort of sought out, and someone described it as a sort of dog whistle, I was going to say. Like something that's kind of like unhearable to the naked ear, but I was like aware of kind of.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
And
like,
so,
is that gaydar? Is that gaydar before the
internet site? But in a less sort of romantic connotation. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. just as a sort of an identity thing. And so I sought out people a little bit, and I suppose, I don't know, like, I remember feeling like, I suppose everybody did, though, but, like, Michael Barrymore seemed he was so funny, and I was, like, not that surprised when he came out.
No.
I didn't know if
you're
that
kind
was...
of people.
Exactly. And then later on, then we had people like, well, namely Graham Norton, really.
Yeah.
Somebody who was... gay, intelligent, funny,
unapologetic,
just being himself and just being like doing this really funny program. And that was kind of a massive deal for me, I think, more so than the sort of dramatic things like
Queer as Folk
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just me. And I suppose, I don't know. Yeah.
I remember when Rona Cameron came out.
Oh, yes. How was that?
She was in the jungle.
What does that mean? Is that a euphemism?
No, it's not a euphemism. She was in I'm a Celebrity.
Oh, is that when she came out?
Or just before? Yeah, and I read her book, which is called 1974, A Big Year in a Small Town. Oh my God, read it. It's such a great book.
Oh, she's lovely, Rona Cameron.
And it was all about her sort of realising her sexuality. I remember reading it as someone that was just sort of, I knew that I was gay, but I wasn't. I hadn't really told anyone apart from a couple of friends.
Mm.
Certainly hadn't come out to my family yet. And it was really affirming.
Yeah, those things
For it not necessarily be a character, to be a real person.
Mm.
And sort of, it talks in quite great depth about her fancying a teacher. And I never really had that with the teacher, but I had it with a girl that was at my dance club and who I just thought was the best. This girl that was a few years older than me that was a really, really gifted dancer. And I just would watch her dancing. And it was not sexual. I don't think I was old enough for it to be a sexual thing.
Sure.
But it was... I just completely idolised her. I couldn't... I found...
She was in your school?
We went to the same dance school.
Sorry.
And she... I'm an okay dancer. She was sort of especially gifted. She went on to...
Like, are you sure you're not confusing this with, like, some sort of movie?
Well, my life is a film.
Is the name of your...
Is the name of my new book.
Okay. The name of your work.
There'll be songs by Elaine Page in it. But I remember watching her and just being, like, completely besotted. Like, oh, she's... Just everything she does is brilliant. She was also really funny.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, this was at an age where I realised that being funny was sort of a...
A blessing.
Yeah, but also, like, something you could use to...
A powerful tool.
Impress people.
Of course. I've been trying my whole life.
So reading that book,
yes.
I was like, oh my God, someone else has felt like this.
Yes.
Thank God.
That's it, isn't it? That's it. Yeah.
And there seems to be more...
I'm not feeling it's like a physical pain. Sometimes those crushes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Physically felt like ached from it.
Yeah. Oh, I remember having really physical reactions to my own gayness. I said this the other day to someone and I realised it sounds unbelievably bleak. I remember when I would have, as a teenager, when I would think about being gay, I would occasionally physically be sick because
really,
I was so the idea, it wasn't that I was repulsed by it, it was the idea of it was so stressful.
Yeah.
That I didn't know what to do, and my body just went, it would be sick.
Because that's the thing, that's an interesting word, I think, stressful. Because I think there are times when it is, like, stressful. Like, it's like, you know, there's enough going on in life when you're a teenager. Exams, fitting in socially, anyway.
And then as an adult, an absolute horror show.
Yeah.
For my being 15, I was covered in spots.
And then as an adult,
very greasy.
It's taxes, having a job, paying your rent, having got a pension. Yeah. All of those things. And so...
Like, oh, God, I've got to deal with this as well. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, why can't I be normal?
Yeah.
But then what is normal?
Exactly. Exactly. It's so hard, isn't it, to just sort of be empowered.
But I think that's... empowered. I think that's why the sort of, you know, stuff like chatting about shows like Transparent or Modern Family or Kimmy Schmidt or, you know, any of these shows that have...
Yeah.
Gay characters in where the plot line isn't necessarily about their
sexuality.
Yeah. I mean, in Transparent, obviously that does feature quite heavily, but also there's four other really important characters, which are really important. The three children from his previous marriage.
Oh, right.
Or her previous marriage, I don't
know. Right.
It's really, yeah, it's like a lot of different relationships happening. And so that's not the only story.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, it's really important that trans stories, gay stories, queer stories are just part of life.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to see.
I think as well, like in humour and stuff, like someone, say like Tina Fey.
Yeah.
I feel like as a kid, I would have always like really loved her style of humour, even though she's not a gay person.
Yeah.
There's something about that kind of affinity somehow. And she sort of talks in her book about like having lots of gay friends growing up. And I don't, so that sort of unspoken stuff, I think, is really powerful. Not unspoken in a sort of sinister way.
But people that are allies.
Yeah, and just sort of get that kind of outsiderness and that kind of quick wit and that flamboyance.
And sort of enjoy it and revel in it. They're therefore sort of part of that queer community.
Yeah.
But I know that we have listeners to the show who have got in touch that have said, like, you know, oh, I'm not gay, but I have a lot of like-minded friends. I think someone got in touch and their brother's a like-minded friend and he suggested the podcast to them. And things like that. And I think that's really important to sort of note. I think it's actually Stonewall, who I do a little bit of stuff with, who
Clang,
I love, brilliant charity.
Look at the good new... she does, everyone.
The good I do.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Listeners. I literally have.
She literally has.
I literally have about three t-shirts, three Stonewall t-shirts. I mean, you have one.
Yeah.
You were there at Pride.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great fun.
It was really fun. And then I couldn't do the gig. Something else came up.
Oh, because he was on Mock the Week. All right, love.
All right. I had to be a gay role model on television.
And do you know what you are, Tom?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're a girl model.
I am a girl model. But
a Dave girl model.
I'm putting it down. I don't know if people are picking it up, but I'm putting it down.
I think people will be, and I think you don't realise that. But the new Stonewall, one of their sort of campaigns that they're running at the moment is Come Out for LGBT. Mm. And it's about sort of straight allies.
Yes,
being
that's true,
sort of
isn't it?
Part of the sort of community, which I think is really important. And I think, going back to theme, having people like us on shows.
Yeah, very powerful.
Very powerful.
But everybody's a role model in a way, aren't they? You know, just like whatever you're doing, be a role model.
I agree.
But also, gays on TV. I mean, now
I remember
that we have
seeing.
Like,
oh, sorry.
Well, I just say like now we have like openly gay
MPs.
Weather presenters and MPs and. You know, that's all. But on TV, yeah, it's sort of it's always interesting, isn't it? And I think it's about actually just showing people getting on.
People as normal people.
People living normal is often a sort of word that people get down on. But I think it does have a relevance.
Yeah, it has a currency to a degree, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think it's
just fitting in a bit. I suppose that's what I mean when I say.
Yeah, or just normalising.
Yes, yeah.
A different way of living.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. In This Life, I think there was a gay character. Was one of the characters.
What is In This Life?
Did you ever watch This Life? My friend at school watched it, and I always thought it was a bit bleak. It was a bit 90s. They lived in this really dark flat. Everyone had like big boxy shoulder pads. And it was really...
Was there a lot of Oasis playing in the background? That's sort of
it was very like, yeah, like downbeat.
Umbro shirts.
Very like that. By the way, that whole era looking back, I was really depressed by. And that compounded my sense of not fitting in.
The 90s?
Yeah, that lad culture.
Clang, look at us.
Saying lad culture in synchronicity. Yeah, that was so depressing.
Yeah, and really like loud and leery and unnecessary.
Like, can you imagine? Like, everyone was like wearing like grungy, like mod sort of outfits. And I was like, hey, what about Noel Coward in the 30s? People were
horrified.
Physically horrified. Yeah. Not only was I not going with the program, I was actively pursuing another program. I was very, that felt very uncomfortable. That, yeah, but it was very laddie, like these horrible magazines.
Mm. Oh, yeah, like the one with all the girls with their boobs out and stuff.
Yeah, Nuts, or FHM, or Loaded.
Do they still exist?
Is it Loaded? I was just thinking, I was about to ask that. Do they still exist?
I don't know.
I don't know what they're...
Print, isn't it? It's dying.
It's very difficult, I think, to sustain yourself in print, yeah. But that's sort of like...
I'm sure the internet like ruined all of that stuff for them.
Yeah, they must have been so annoyed.
Because, you know, once upon a time you'd have to buy a Loaded to see like a Atomic Kitten in her knickknacks.
Are Atomic Kitten a group or are they one person?
They're a group. They're a group.
What was their song?
They covered The Tide Is High.
Mm-hmm.
The Tide Is High. The Blondie one, but didn't do it as well as Blondie, of course. And I'm not really
Sound
sure.
of the Underground.
No, that's oh God.
Girls Aloud. Girls Aloud.
Who I loved.
Do you remember that program they made when they went to China?
No.
It was really interesting. Like they were just like seemed to hate it. They were all like really moaning about it. It's like, oh,
was
it's
it
raining.
Culturally quite
Dodge. They didn't. I mean,
they didn't really jump in with both feet.
They didn't love. I think they loved being on the trip, and the documentary bit largely sort of.
What
followed
was it like? Sort of Girls Aloud go to China.
Yeah, it was like a T4 thing, I think.
T4.
And do you remember when Girls Aloud did Britain's Most Haunted?
No,
I'm sure they did a Britain. Yeah, they did. Yeah, with Yvette Fielding. I told you about that hotel I stayed in. That was a Most Haunted. It was featured in Britain's Most Haunted.
Absolutely not. Wouldn't have stayed. Unsubscribe.
You've stayed. Unsubscribe. Imagine if you said that in life, like with things. I do not like this hotel. Unsubscribe. Unsubscribe this hotel.
Jenny Bede says it in life all of the time.
Does she?
Yeah.
It's like an action.
Yeah, unsubscribe.
People have just started listening to this podcast. We're like, who's this Jenny Bede character?
She's my housemate.
She doesn't exist. She's not real. Susie makes her up.
She's a musical stand-up. She's a lovely person.
She's not real, though.
She's not real, no.
There's no photographs. There's no evidence.
She is. I go home and I put on a wig and I pretend to be Jenny Bede.
It's like Psycho when he puts on a wig and pretends to be his mother.
Oh, that's terrifying, that film. I watched that far too young.
Did you? Oh,
really,
I didn't watch that. That last image. Do you remember that bit?
When you see the body?
When he closes up on him, sat on the floor in his cell.
Oh, no.
And there's like a voiceover of like his condition. And then you see his face. And then his face turns into
his mother.
The mother's face. The
decomposing corpse.
The decomposing corpse face.
I remember that the image of that decomposing corpse. I would think about it routinely when I went to bed. I watched it when I was maybe like 14. And just like the idea of like the skeleton. Oh, that's horrid. No, unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. What brought us onto that?
I'm not sure. Jenny Bede, the fact that she's unsubscribe. Girls Aloud, China.
Hotel, haunted.
Haunted hotel.
They said to me, did I not tell this on the podcast? Maybe it was during the
I lost.
Oh, maybe it was on the... We're not talking about that one, Susie. We're never going to talk about that again. The hotel, they said, you know it's on Britain's Most Haunted. And I was staying there on a Sunday night. And they were like, you know, it's a wedding venue. No one's going to be staying there tonight. It's just going to be you. And I phoned them up to say, I'm on my way, because it was like 11 o'clock. And they were like, well, how long will you be? I've got stuff waiting. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? They're like, we've got stuff waiting. And I was like, oh, God. Soon, I think. It was between a nuclear power plant and a Nestle factory. I mean, couldn't be any more bleak. I had to drive up this driveway on my own, got to this haunted hotel. Man, actually, it was quite nice.
Did you sleep?
Hardly. I had all the lights on and the TV. Because Flo says if you put electrical things on, ghosts don't like it.
Flo is also our agent.
Yeah.
So
like,
she's
actually in showbiz.
In showbiz.
Not as a spiritual agent.
She's not a medium.
She's not a medium yet.
She's probably a small. Oh, she's very slight.
I'm sure, very slight. So I did that, but I barely slept a wink.
Oh, absolutely not.
And there were like, it was like, I looked around the hotel in the morning, and if anything, it was a bit more creepy during the day. It was sort of like a bleak sort of September day where it had been grey and raining. And there were all these portraits around this gallery.
Oh, no, no, no.
And I went down, when I got there, I was like, am I the only one staying here? They were like, no, there's one other. I was like, oh, God. And when I went down for breakfast, they were like, what time's breakfast? At 9:30. I came down at like 9:28. And I was like, oh, did the other person come down for breakfast? They're like, no. Oh. And that creeped me out, especially because the whole dining room had been laid up for breakfast.
Oh, like, do you think it was once a quite popular hotel?
Thriving hotel, probably, like The Shining.
Oh, love that film.
Love that film. That's a great film.
Did I ever tell you about when I went, I was staying in Bangor in North Wales. I did the gig up there.
Go on.
And I stayed in a hotel and me and our fellow comedian and friend Phil Gerrard were the only people in the hotel.
Oh, and then he told me that story the other day. Go on, what's your ending to it?
So what happened was I arrived and they were like, you're in the sort of back part of the house, which is the hotel. So the normal hotel was having renovations. Phil and I were put in this, like, huge, terrifying hotel.
You're in the creepy.
Just
Alex.
The two of us. So they were like, we'll just give you a key and you can let yourself in. So there wasn't reception. There wasn't any of this carry-on. So then we let ourselves in. Went up to my room. He was in the room next to me. We got some beers from the gig and we went into my room and had a couple of beers, because obviously there was no bar, and watched some Family Guy or whatever else is on at that time of night. Then they said, no one else is in the hotel, there's nothing at all, there's no one here, so you should have a really good night's sleep. Of course, I'm terrified by that news.
Yeah.
Because I'm a massive wimp.
Nothing can make me sleep less. Yeah,
exactly. And then I was woken up in the night by the sound of a ball being rolled in the room above me.
I don't like that at all.
Hated it. Hated it. Just hear, then the ball would stop rolling, and then it'd roll. Stop. Roll. So it was like someone was playing with it. And I imagine that someone was dead. And I imagine it was a dead child. And that is, a dead Victorian child would be one of my greatest fears.
That would be mine too.
And so I got up at 4:30 and drove to my parents in Portsmouth, which was a 5-hour drive.
You could have just gone to another hotel. Like the Premier Inn or something.
What did Phil Gerrard tell you?
It was really creepy. You both went to bed, and in the morning, you'd pissed off. Left him there on his own.
I mean, he had his car. It wasn't like he was coming back with me or anything.
That's fine. Did you not think about waking him up?
I don't know him well enough.
Phil. That would be worse, wouldn't it?
Phil,
it's me.
Phil.
Oh, poor Phil. Was there phone reception?
No.
Oh, that's the worst bit. Did I tell you about the barn I went to?
No, I mean,
in Dartmoor. It was right next to Dartmoor Prison. We got lost on the way there.
Wait, so you're going to Dartmoor for a gig?
Some filming, actually. But
Clang. Sorry.
And then I had to phone the owner of this B&B. She, again, just left the key in the door.
Wait, guys, stop doing this.
Not okay, because we were getting there at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
You were with some people that were...
Just me. And the driver, and he...
Was he staying there as well, the driver?
No, he was staying down the road, and, oh, it was so scary. It was, so we got there was a key in the door, and I was like, well, that, because there's a key in the door, someone's could just let themselves in.
Yeah, a murderer.
A murderer who's escaped from the prison.
Oh my God, Tom. Okay, so you arrive, is it dark?
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's pitch black, okay.
We're getting lost in amongst Dartmoor.
Yeah.
Which is one of the bleakest places I've ever been to.
Yeah.
But I'm sure people from there love it.
Oh, it's really lovely in the daytime. It's where Josh Widdicombe's from. I've done quite a lot of gigs down there with him.
That's what I sort of was thinking about, like, him and his crew. And then...
Oh, I can't be murdered here. Josh Widdicombe's from here.
Josh wouldn't be murdered here. We were just... And we couldn't find... There were no signs for this B&B. It was like a B&B and then there was a barn. I'd been given the number of this woman who ran it, so I phoned her, and she was like, did you not get the written instructions? We sent you the written instructions. I was like, well, no. And And she was like, well, I sent this in advance so that we wouldn't have all of this. I was like, oh, sorry. And she's like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, Tom. And I was like, do not speak to me like that when I am tired as well. You are running a B&B that's in the middle of chuffing nowhere. I changed it to chuffing, but yeah, fucking. And then we got there, and then I went to bed. It was actually quite a nice barn. And woke up in the morning and could just look out along this huge moor. And I know it's supposed to be really beautiful, but I just thought to myself, I fucking hate the countryside.
Did you feel very much like Kate Bush?
Yeah. I did, actually. It was like that. It was like Heathcliff.
Heathcliff. Now, did you, when you got in to the hotel, or B&B.
Barn, yeah.
The barn. And you went up to your room. Did you think this might be how I die? Did you, A, check the bathroom for a murderer? Did you look in the wardrobe? Did you look under the bed?
I just thought, if they're there, they're there.
Oh, I have to do all those things. Even when I get back to a, like, hotel room, even if it's a Premier Inn, I'll check all the things.
Really? They don't even have cupboards in there. But you'll check the bathroom behind the shower curtains used to stress me out.
Oh, my God, because of Psycho.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Pulls it back, doesn't he, and kills her.
Yeah.
With the wig.
In my mind, there was always someone in the shower, like, standing there just in silence. Like, is there anything more creepy than being in a room thinking you're on your own, and then there's been someone there behind the shower curtain?
Yep, that's horrible.
But
or
what
a
is
body.
Worse, or a body, of course. But what is worse is if you don't pull the shower curtain across, then it doesn't dry properly and you get mould, which in a way is more perfect to me. A shower curtain with all that, like...
Oh, no thank you. Unsubscribe. No,
unsubscribe immediately. By the way...
Yes?
Are you aware of the expression, come through?
No.
I think it's a drag expression. I don't know if it's on RuPaul, but...
Okay.
People say, like, come through, mama.
And what does that mean?
It means, like, well done, I think.
Oh, as in, like, come through, take your place.
You're... Yeah, basically, come through. Susie, come through.
Oh, Tom.
Manchester, come through. Yeah, it's a good expression. I like it.
Well, where you're at, I wonder what haunted hotel you'll be staying in next, because you're still on your fabulous tour.
Seeing some places, let me tell you. And I love the gigs, but sometimes when I go back to those haunted hotels, I do not enjoy that as much.
You think, was this worth it? Will this be how I go? Am I famous enough to make an obituaries page in The Guardian? Probably not.
I always feel it's worth it, but I do sometimes wonder where my death will be reported, yeah. I think Chortle, industry website, yes.
Yeah. Chortle, you'd definitely make the front page of Chortle.
Jesus.
They potentially would come to me for a soundbite as well.
What would
That's
you say?
That's good for me.
Just so you know, what would you say?
He was a wonderful friend. He was always late.
He was always late, and now he is officially the late Tom Allen.
Tom Allen. Something like that?
That's a nice...
Well, what would you say in my obituary?
Sorry, who? Who is this?
Fair enough.
Something like that?
Lovely.
I would say...
No, you've said it all now. Well, you can catch Tom on tour if you want to see the bitchy queen live.
The bitchy little prick on tour. That's not the name of the show. It's called, absolutely.
TomIndeed.com. All my stuff is on SusieRuffle.com.
Yes.
Get in touch with us at chat2likemindedfriends@gmail.com.
Oh, everyone loves
Twitter,
a Gmail.
Instagram.
That email address is like the sort
so
of thing that
clunky,
like, if you like saw a business and it had like as a contact, like on the side of a van.
Yeah.
Like,
or it's like when there's like someone that's like a... impersonator of a comedian, or someone that does like someone that you might describe doing a turn on a variety
Somebody
night
does a turn, yeah.
They would definitely be like lee@hotmail.com. yeah, they're like stage name at hotmail.com.
yeah, or call or tell 07 blah,
yeah
blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
well, join us next time on Like-Minded Friends, when who knows what we'll be discussing.
Who knows? What a lovely time
we'll have. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide children's marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide children's marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.